Dear friends, as you know, we are unable to meet together because of the dangers of contracting the coronavirus disease. But we're thankful to be able to come to you online with the message from the Word of God. In these uncertain days in which we are living, let me urge you to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can save us and give us peace in these turbulent times. Let us pray for one another that we will not be overcome by fear, but place our faith and trust in God. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your love and grace to us. We thank you, Lord, to know that you're with us to help us in every situation, even in the midst of this coronavirus disease. And we just pray for those who are affected by it. We pray that you might touch and heal them. We pray for mercy and grace to all of us as we have to be confined to our homes and various other things. Pray that you'll give us the patience and wisdom to be able to get through this difficult time, and that your holy will might be done through it all. We thank you for our church, and we certainly miss being together with the other others who come, but we thank you that we can still deliver the message in another way. So we ask you, Lord, to be with those who are suffering, those who are having difficulties at this time, and meet every need. Thank you for your word. Pray that you'll speak to us today through your precious word and help us to honor you and serve you in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I do want to thank those of you who have sent in offerings to the church, even though you haven't been able to come. And we appreciate that so that we can continue to meet our expenses and to support our missionaries and all the other things that we have to take care of. So thank you so very much for that. In our last message, we began looking at Paul's epistle to Titus. We saw in the first chapter that Paul had left Titus in charge of the churches on the island of Crete. He was to organize the churches and appoint elders to lead and to teach the people. Titus was one of Paul's faithful co-workers in his ministry. He had traveled a great deal with Paul on his journeys and had gained his trust. Paul spoke of him, in fact, as my own son after the common faith. He knew he could trust him to fulfill this important assignment. The main emphasis that we find in chapter 2 is that of sound doctrine as given to the congregations. I'd like to read from Titus chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Each class of people in the church are to be instructed so that they can live their lives as healthy Christians. He speaks of sound doctrine, which means healthy doctrine, that which makes for healthy believers, spiritually speaking. What one believes should determine how he behaves. It's the pastor's responsibility to teach God's word so that everyone will know what to believe and how to live. There are five different groups mentioned in this passage and the characteristics that they should be having in their lives to be true to the Lord. It speaks here of the older men, the aged men, and how they should live. They should be willing to be taught by the elders, to accept the responsibility of leadership in the church, and have a sincere commitment to Christ. Notice it speaks of these words: sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, well, that is love, and in patience. A lot of older men are not very patient. They need to learn that. And older women, it says, the aged women likewise. So they need to learn the same things that the men have learned. Plus, they are to teach the younger women of the responsibilities of their home life and how they should behave themselves. The older women are to walk in holiness. It's a word we don't use a great deal anymore, but a very important one, that we be holy as God is holy. Not false accusers, that is, be honest and sincere. Not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And the young women are to be, to love their husbands, to love their children. There, it speaks of the home and the family, and how the importance of the wife and mother in the home, and to teach them that they might be sincere and honest in raising their families and in doing what God would have them to do. It says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. These are all the qualities of these women of marriageable age, the mothers, and those who are responsible for keeping their families on an even keel. Then it speaks, of course, of the young men as well. It says exhort them to be sober-minded. Young people, of course, like to sow their wild oats, but it doesn't say anything about that here. I think we are to be sober-minded. Even when we are young, be sincere and honest before the community and in the sight of God. Titus is included in this group. Notice he was considered a young man. He says, you make yourself a pattern of good works, and in doctrine show uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. In other words, be sure that what you're teaching is the truth. Study and prepare yourself so that you will be able to explain God's word in a clear way. This was important for men like Titus who were leading and training others. And then the last one that he mentioned here is the servants who at that time would have been slaves. That's just something we no longer have, and I think that's a very good thing that we don't have slaves anymore. But we do have those who work for others. and they are to be responsible in what they do and present a good testimony before those that they work with and those that they work for. Notice it says here that he should be able to adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. Now you think these people, even in a very simple way, those who have bring glory to the Lord. The word adorn is used to mean to make beautiful. It's like placing precious jewels in an arrangement to show the true beauty. In one sense, the gospel doesn't need adornment. It's fine the way it is, and yet at the same time, we can make it beautiful by the way we live. We can show the results that the gospel brings in a person's life by the way that we live. And even one in a low or disadvantaged state of life has this potential to beautify God's truth by living a righteous life. So the sound doctrine Paul speaks of, he goes on to talk about it here, is based on the grace of God, the saving work of Christ on the cross. Notice verse 11 again. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. This grace of God, the unmerited favor, something we do not deserve, and yet God in His mercy has bestowed it upon us. We can do nothing to earn it. All we can do is accept it. It's available to everyone, but we must accept it by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, very familiar verses, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Not only does grace bring salvation, however, but it also teaches us how we should live our lives while we're here on earth. And verse 12, he says, teaching us, the grace teaches us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We are to deny that which is wrong, and negatively to lay aside those things which would cause us to not honor God in the way that we should. Anything that's ungodly, anything that's not godlike, we should put aside. And worldly lust, those things which would drag us down into sin, lay them all aside and live positively, soberly, righteously, and godly. And notice he says, in this present world. You know, we always think about, well, we'll be perfect when we get to heaven. You know, that'd be wonderful, and we will. We'll be like the Lord Jesus. But he says, in this present world, we need to live a serious life, one for God, a righteousness, and be godly in our actions, the way we live, be honest and sincere before others in this present world. With that blessed hope, he says in verse 13, look forward to the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what we are looking forward to, that Christ is coming again to receive us under Himself. And God's grace teaches us to have that hope in our hearts, to look forward to Jesus coming to take us home to be with Him. And notice how it speaks of Him. He is the great God and our Savior. Jesus Christ is altogether human. He's altogether divine. And we can, the only unique Son of the living God. And we are looking forward to His coming and taking us out of this sinful world and taking us to be with Him forevermore. And then we look back to the cross. Here we are getting close to the season when we celebrate or when we commemorate the death of the Lord Jesus for our sins and his glorious resurrection. And he says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, a people of his own people, zealous of good works. So Jesus died to save us, not only to take us to heaven, but to make us his people here on earth, that we might serve him faithfully and be good witnesses to those that we come in contact with day by day. And Titus is exhorted here to preach this with authority. This is the message that people need to hear. They need to know that we are God's people here on earth, and we need to act in that way. So the grace of God is our teacher. May God grant that we learn well the lessons which he seeks to teach us. We learn of him through Bible study, prayer, coming to church, hearing the word of God. We should not neglect these important parts of our life. The question is, are you living the full, victorious life for Christ that he wants you to live in this present world? It's not always easy, especially in these times when things are so strange, when things are going a different way. We don't have any control over what is going on around us. And yet we need to put our faith and trust in the Lord, because he is in control. He knows exactly what is happening, and we can trust him to work it all out. And God's grace is sufficient. It's sufficient to meet our every need. So we need to put our faith and trust in him. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father, we just thank you so much again for your word, and thank you for the privilege of studying it together, and pray that you will speak to the heart of each and every one who hears this message, that they might take it seriously, that they might read it for themselves, and that they might put themselves into your hands and trust in you completely for their own personal salvation and for their life as a Christian. May your holy will be done, we pray, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.